In the beginning, say at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering, coming from the Greek, hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, let's stop right there. You know, how many of you know who named all the animals of the earth? Adam did. But when God began to speak this whole thing into creation, he started calling day, day, and night. When he saw the light and it was good, he called it day. When he saw the night, the black, the dark, he called it night. The light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called light, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters, and God made the expanse. And he separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. Verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. He made the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night, and he made the stars also. 17, God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Father, we just love you and praise you and thank you for your word. And we ask that you would anoint your servant, minister through me, Father. I know that you never give me a message. You give your people a message. You just send me to give it. And so, Father, I just pray that you would just give me open hearts and open minds to receive the word that you have prepared for them today. Father, we want to give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus, our coming King, Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. In the beginning. Say beginning again for me. Beginning, in the beginning. The beginning. The beginning of what? In the beginning. We know that it's not the beginning of God. So it's the beginning of what? It's the beginning of man. It's the beginning of time. And any time we talk about a beginning, we know that that denotes a time span that's beginning to start. We're starting a time span. This is the beginning of earth. This is the beginning of man and of man's time. How many of you know God is not limited by time? God's unlimited when it comes to time. So many times when I'm praying, I always say, God, you know the urgency here, and I know that you're not limited by time, but I am. So I need you to move on this as quick as you possibly could, you know. But we know that God is not limited by time, and so therefore time means nothing to God. Time is for you. Time is for me. Time is for mankind. Time is not for God. God doesn't need time. He's not concerned about time. And one of these days when we get to heaven, we won't worry about time, because every day will be a new day. It'll start a new life for us. It'll be something new and something different for us. See, God did not have a beginning. He always has. Isn't that kind of difficult for you to understand? Please tell me it is, because it is for me. I mean, you know, when I think about eternity, I want to think of eternity forward. I can comprehend that, because I just know it's going to go on and on and on. But when I think about eternity backward, my mind is too small. My brain is warped. And I can't seem to get that he always has been. I know some of you guys are so anointed you glow in the dark when you sleep, but I know that I can't quite grab a hold of he always has been. I know he has, and I read it, but in my mind, there has to be a beginning somewhere. But that's the human in me. But he always has been, and he always will be. John 1:1-2, I love this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. You just can't take verse 1, and we quote it all the time, and when we're preaching and when you're talking to folks, you'll say, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But we need to add verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Now I got double trouble. I got to figure out how both of them got here. And then I keep reading where he introduced himself to Abraham as three young men, representing the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now I got triple trouble, because they always have been. They're one identity. They're one God, but they are also three identities. Listen, in the beginning, this was not the beginning of God. It was the beginning of God manifesting himself. When we pick up the Bible and we turn to the first page of the book, In the beginning, this is God beginning to manifest himself. He always has been, but he just had not manifested himself to. The angels knew him. The cherubims, all of the heavenly creatures knew him, but there was no humankind. So in order to introduce himself and manifest himself, he began to create. In the beginning. It's not the beginning of God. It's the beginning of his manifestation of himself. And the Bible says that the earth was void. It was without form. It was void. And until the Spirit of God moved upon it, till he hovered over it. I don't have time to preach all that, but that is a sermon within itself, how that God just sent his Spirit, and his Spirit just began to hover over that formless mass of water full of darkness and void hurling through space. And God reached out and grabbed it with his hand, handed it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to mold it. You got to know that's good. We talk about the work of the Spirit of God and how that we know that when we feel his Spirit, we feel his presence in this place. He formed this place. He hovered over this thing, and he just began to work it. Nothing but water. And he began to work it, and he hovered over it, and he kept hovering over it until finally he was so close to it that he breathed on it. And then life came. Y'all just wait, I'm going to preach this. Then life came. Listen. The Spirit of God moved upon it as if it had no structure. It had no purpose. It had no future. It was just a formless mass hurling through eternity. Until God moved on. How many of you ever felt like your life was formless? Void. You had no future. You had nothing to look forward to. You had no purpose. You were just like a formless mass cloaked in darkness hurling through space. And you knew that if something was going to change in your life, it would take a move of God. And God came with his Holy Spirit, and he began to hover over you. Come on, church, work with me, please. He began to hover over you, and he began to just mold you and make you and create you the way he wanted you to be. I love what Jesus said to the disciples, Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me, and I will make you. You don't have to make yourself. You just follow me, and I'm going to make you. I'll make you anything I want you to be. But right now, I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. But that's not really you. I'm going to make you something different than that. I'm going to make you something bigger than that. I'm going to make you something like the world has never seen before. I'm going to make you what I need for it. We have too many people trying to do what they think God wants them to do and how that they want to do it, that we can't allow the Holy Spirit to mold us and fashion us. We put God in a box. Get him out of the box this morning. Let's allow the Spirit of God to move in our life. And as we are just nothing but a formless mass clothed in darkness, he can make light in us. You're going to love this. You're going to really love this. How many of you ever been in a position that you just knew you were about to go under? Every time I get in that position, I begin to think back at the earth before God started moving on it. It was nothing. And I recognize that God likes to take nothing and make something out of it. So when you get to where you think you're nothing, God has gotten you to where he can make something out of you. You got to let yourself go. You got to do what Paul said. We got to kill the flesh. We gotta destroy the flesh and allow the Spirit to become bigger than the flesh. Wow. From the very beginning, God has had a way of moving on things. God loves to move on things. All you gotta do is be available to God. You've heard this so many times. God's not worried about your ability. He's worried about your availability. That's what he's concerned with. That's what he wants. He wants you available. And if he can make you available, if you will be available to God, he will create in you the very thing he needs. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Say light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be light. What is light? We've never experienced that. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now you remember, he had not made the sun. He had not created the two great lights, one to rule the day and one to govern the night. He had not created those yet. But he said, let there be light, and there was light. Where did the light come from? There had to be a place that God could draw that light from. And guess where he drew it from? He drew it from himself. How many of you know that your righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God? The only good thing we know is God. And God looked at the light and said, "It is good." So God had to see himself in the light. God had to see himself in the light. God needs to see you in the light. You are children of light. You no longer walk in darkness, but you walk in light. But he says, let there be light, and there was light. And God looked at it, and he said, it is good. And God said, I'm going to divide that. I'm going to divide that. Now remember this, remember this, remember this. Sun had not been created. Moon had not been created. All we have is light. And the source of that light was himself. It tells us that in the Revelation. For the Father and the Son, there will be no sun or moon in heaven, for the Father and the Son are the light thereof. Are you there? So the light come out of him. What I love this. What did Jesus say? See, when God sent the light to the earth, he sent it from himself. When Jesus came to earth, he was sent by the Father. And what did he say? He said, I'm the light of the world. Is anybody with me? Have I lost you already? I mean, I got about 10 more minutes. What's this? We got to see that the darkness, when God opened it up. How many times have you heard and I've even preached this, that dark and light cannot dwell together? We love to use that analogy, and we also talk about oil and water. It separates. We can have a totally dark, black room, and somebody just turn on one light in the middle, no longer dark. It may be a little dim, but it's not dark. And we say it can't dwell together, but now we do know that it did at one time. Because see, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he looked at the light, and he said, the light is good, and I'm going to separate it from the dark. So he separated it. But until he separated, what happened? It dwelled together. How many of you know who is the ruler of this earth? Satan, Beelzebub, the ruler of the world. And at one time, he dwelled in heaven and was worshipped. I love to hear people preaching and say, he was overworshipped. No. He was worshipped. Wherever he went, there was worship to God. And he got it in his head that he was so good that they were worshiping him. He said, I never would want to be raised up above God, but it's all right to be up equal to him. And God says, you got to go. You got to go. You can't stay here. You got to go. So he represents darkness. Come on, work with me just a minute. He represents darkness in your life. And Jesus represents light in your life. At one time, they were both in heaven. So we had darkness and we had light dwelling together. Let's go to a spiritual, modern day, 2014, right now. Darkness and light dwells in your spirit. Anybody want me to prove it? That's the reason good people do bad things and bad people do good things. Because darkness and light can dwell together. In the spirit realm. Are y'all there? So there was, and the light, God saw the light, and the light was good, so he said, I'm going to separate it from the darkness. And then we go on, and Jesus is teaching us, and he tells us that we're no longer children of darkness, but we're children of light. That means that we need to quit walking in the darkness of the world because we are children of light. Look at somebody and say, you're a child of light. You are a child, you're a child of light, you're a child of God, you're a child of light. Listen, when God makes something, it all works together. See, he's got all of this stuff going on, and creation is about to begin. He's just getting it started there, and he says, one thing I gotta do is I gotta create something good. So he created light. And he separated it from darkness. And then after he made the light and he separated it from darkness, it became good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to them that and are called, loved and called according to his purpose. All things. No wonder we can read these things and understand what they mean, because we know that even though at that time it did not seem right, but God said, I'm going to make this, and once I make it, I'm going to separate it, and when I separate it, it's going to become its own thing. You, my friend, are a child of light, and you have no need walking in darkness. None whatsoever. Now listen, watch this. When Paul wrote this, about all things working together for the good. When Paul wrote this, he wasn't just trying to have something spiritual to say. Listen, we preach all this stuff. Paul's just trying to help them poor people. He said, y'all are on your way to hell. I'm going to try to keep you out, and you just got to, you got to realize, I know things don't always work for the good. It seems like, but at the end of the day, it does. It's kind of like tithing. Everybody, we kind of let people go, hey, if you start tithing, then the money's just going to fall out of heaven. Well, it may not, but at the end of the day, it does. Are you with me? At the end of the day, we can look back and we can say, yes, because I was obedient, God blessed me. And because I was obedient, I could go to him and I could say to him, you told me to remind you of your word, and I'm going to remind you now. You said, if I tithe. He wasn't just trying to be spiritual. We try to take every phrase he said to me. He was just trying to help folk. That's all he cared about. He just wanted to help people. See, the light and the dark, they dwell together. They dwelt together then, they dwell together now. We know that in our spirits, sometimes we see good people do some pretty lousy things, amen? And we see some bad people do some pretty good things. We got to recognize that Jesus, when he said, I am, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who walks in me shall walk in the light of life. I don't know about you, but I love that picture, and I don't even know a whole lot about it. I enjoy seeing it every time I think about it, is the footprint. Two and then one set of footprints. And that's when God's carrying you. Listen, if we can just ever learn that all we got to do is follow Jesus and his teachings, and once we do that, we're going to be able to walk in light. Listen, when we read this story of creation, God is creating. He's a creating God. He's a speaking God, and that's how he creates. He creates by speaking. It's a story of change. How many of you know that when you create, it doesn't stay the same? How many of you ever created a relationship and it didn't stay the same? Everything changes. This is a story of change. You read this, it's so good. Here we have this big glob of water hurling through space, formless, void, without any purpose, without anything going on within itself. And when God began to hover over it, when his Holy Spirit began to, it changed. Look at somebody say, change. You're about to go through a change. You may not even recognize it. You may not even realize it. But you're about to go through a change. I believe God does something sometimes. He does things for people. You don't even recognize it. You don't know it. And all of a sudden, you're there. Change, change, change. This thing is a story of change. Everything that God manifested on earth, everything that he manifested on earth already existed. It just didn't exist on earth. It already existed. It just did not exist here. So he manifested it here in his creation mode, and it was a story of change. He spoke it. It manifested itself. And he saw the earth in its original state of being, how void it was and how formless it was and how without purpose it was. But God spoke to it, and it began to change. What's this? How many of you know Jesus has never been lost? Jesus has never been lost. I love it when people say, you know, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. What did he say? He said in his word, he said, you didn't choose me. Come on, let's work with this. Look, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I wasn't lost. You were lost. And I hunted you down. And I found you, and I pulled you out of the bar room. I pulled you out of the crack house. I pulled you out of wherever you were. And I began to change you because I began to put my hands on you, and I began to hover over you with my Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit has created a new being. That's bigger than the old being. Well, if I had something up here to kick, I could kick a football. I don't know how far right now. Listen. Change. And God likes to take nothing and make something out of it because it creates a change. At one time, in your condition, you were nothing. You were lost. You were nothing. And God said, I love you, and I'm going to make something out of you. I'm going to create. I'm going to change you. How many of you know that you can't change yourself? How many of you know that people can't change you? But you serve a God that created you, and he can change you. He can make you something you never thought you could be. He can take you further than you ever thought you could go, and he can give you more than you ever thought you could have. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What's it? We just got to realize that God just likes to take nothing and he changes it. Change, change, change. Say change. Now that's not jingle. No, change, change. Change, change. Change comes from experience. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Change comes from experience. How many of you know that once you ever leave home, you can't go back? Hey, listen. I remember when I left home. We had a yard big enough to play football and baseball at the same time. And 10 years later, I go back and I'm thinking, why didn't we get run over out there? It changed on me. Things changed. See, experience, change comes from experience. And everything that happened to me brings about a change in me, and it molds me into the person that God is trying to make out of me. And then one day I wake up and here I am. Old, got the furniture disease. That's where your chest falls in your drawers. Can't believe I said that, baby. But I got everybody awake now. I can preach to them. Experience. Lord, don't let me mess this sermon up. Experience. Experience it. See, when we experience something, it changes us. And I can never go back to where I was before the experience. See, everything in life that happens to you is an experience. And once you experience it, you can't reverse it and go back to where it was. And let me tell you, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you experience Him as your Lord and as your Savior, you can never go back to the way it was before it happened. Am I preaching? Change, change. I love what Mr. Webster said. Change means to become different, to alter, to transform, or to convert. Even he had it right. Wow, can you just imagine when change comes into our life, we're altered. We're going one direction and God alters us to go in. Come on. We're converted. We're going in one direction, he converts us to go to another. Listen, change. We change is one of those things that we hate the most, but it does the most good for us. Thank God that I'm not where I was when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Thank God I'm not where I was the first Bible I bought. Listen, we got to once something has changed, it cannot go back. That's the reason when things happen in our lives and we have these life-changing experiences or something that has happened to us or something that someone has done to us and we say, I can't go back. It's changed me. I've experienced this. I can't seem to go back to it. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, you can't forgive, and it doesn't mean that you will not do some of the same things that you have done. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:31, you have to kill the flesh daily. You got to kill it. You got to kill it. Well, I tell you what, we've been very mild with the way they really wrote this book. And we said, well, you got to lay it down. You got to do this. No, no. He said, you got to kill that thing. If you don't kill it, it's going to come back. You got to kill it. You got to kill it where you got to make it dead. Got to make it dead. I love what they were all talking about. Moses finally 120 years old on his birthday. That he no longer can come in and go out. No, he's dead. That's what God said. God, read it. God said, my servant Moses is dead. You ain't dead. God says you're dead. There's nobody in this building that God says dead yet. So you need to be alive. You need to experience God. 2 Corinthians 11:27-30, Paul talked about not only having to fight spiritual battles daily concerning the churches, but he also talked about the flesh. And he goes on to say in the 12th chapter that he was given a thorn in his flesh. And now this is,
He said, a disciple of the devil came and tempted me, but he said he pleaded with the Lord three times to remove this thorn. And each time that he went before the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Where in the world did grace go? If we have eliminated any one thing in the church today, it's grace. Isn't it amazing how we can always pick out everybody else's fault, but we can't get the little beam out of our own eye? My mother used to say, you know, you clean up your backyard before you mess in somebody's front yard. Come on, church. We got to recognize that my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, you may do some of the same things that you were doing before, but you got to recognize that his grace is sufficient for you. And once you recognize the fact that you've entered into some things that you've been into before, that's when you need to stop them. You can't camp out there. You got to move past that. Grace is no good if you don't operate in it. Grace is no good unless you operate in that grace. God, you've given me the grace. Paul didn't say, well, Lord, I know you have, but dear God, I still feel bad about it. Jesus slapped him upside the head. What's the matter with you, man? I give you grace. I put grace, I bathe you in grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, yes, I know you still have those thoughts, but my grace is going to overcome those thoughts. I know that you're still involved, but my grace is sufficient for you. Look at somebody and say, grace. Once you experience God, you can never go back. You can never go back. You've experienced that. It's going to be different. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to convict you, and you're not going to enjoy what used to be a joy. Is going to be a torment. How many of you ever done such? I can't believe I've done that. Come on, we all have. I can't believe I did. I'm going to never do that again. Bless my sorry soul, I've lied. Here I am, I'm in the same mess, asking for forgiveness again. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. You can never go back, you can never go back. When I read the story of the man at the temple gate in the third chapter of the book of Acts, here's a man that from his birth was lame, and all he ever did was beg, wishing and hoping and looking up. And then one day, here comes Peter and John. I've got to get out of here. Peter and John. Here comes Peter and John. I read about Peter and John. I think about what? Worship and faith. John represents worship. He laid his head on Jesus' bosom and worshiped him. Everything John did was about worship. And Peter was about faith. He was ready to move. I may mess up, but God will straighten it out. Oh, let's just move. Let's just do something. Let's get in the Spirit and do something. So we got faith and we got worship. Man, you cannot help but get excited when you think that in the hour of prayer, these two guys, faith and worship, are walking together up into the temple to pray. Faith and worship. Faith and worship going together to pray. And they meet this guy at the front of the gate, at the gate called Beautiful. And you know the story, but I got to tell you this part of it. He looked at them expecting to receive something, some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but let me tell you, I got something a lot better. And that's what I'm going to give you. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. Watch this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I love this. You got to know Peter. Peter's that guy of faith. And he had the personality that when he said, "Such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," that fellow laid there. He reached down and jerked his butt up. And when he got up, he didn't quit getting up. Read it. When he got up, he didn't quit getting up. When he got up, he went straight up and went to leaping and jumping and praising the Lord and went right into the temple. He just kept getting up. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we get up enough to stand up. And God said, when you start getting up, don't stop getting up. Keep getting up. Let God bless you. Let God do what he called you to do. Listen. You got to hear this. This is good. This is my last point. Got to get out of here. Watch it. Once you experience something, you can stop the experience, but you can't stop the change. You can't stop the change. Y'all know I'm preaching here. Y'all can sit there if you want to. I know this is good. Listen, this is word. You know, once you experience something, you can stop that experience. I know people that the Spirit of God's moving on them and they're afraid they're going to get out of the box and they stop the experience. But the change is already taken. Am I preaching, Derek? See, the change is already taking place. You can stop the experience, but you can't stop the change. Listen, that's the reason that Adam and Eve had to get out of the garden. They stopped the experience when they recognized what they were doing, but they couldn't stop the change. God said, "You got to go. You got to go. You can't stay here, because if I let you stay here, you're going to get smart and you're going to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then you're going to turn right around and eat from the tree of life and you're going to live forever, and I won't be able to go against my own word." Come on. This is word. This is it. Adam was walking one day with one of his many, many, many sons. They go by the Garden of Eden. He said, "Dad, that is a beautiful place there." And Adam said, "Yeah, we used to live there too. Your mama ate us out of house and home." I can't believe I said that either. Listen, let's rock and roll. Stand up with me. Listen, here we are. We're in the middle of this thing. We recognize that change is inevitable. And change is not a bad thing. Change is a good thing. Change is good. Listen, when the 120 gathered in the upper room and they prayed, the Bible says they prayed till a change. They prayed. They got together and they prayed until the breakthrough came, and they were changed and they were never to be the same again, and the church would never be the same again. They had an experience that altered their lives forever. Altered their lives forever. And I believe that this morning God is speaking to this church, Go To Church, and he's saying, "I want you to experience something that'll change your life forever. Forever. Where you can never go back. You can never go back." Is every head's bowed and every eyes closed in this building for just one moment? I want to say to you, God is bringing an experience into your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I want everybody in this building to pray this prayer with me. "Father, I've sinned and I've come short of what I should have done. I ask you to forgive me. I recognize where I am. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I am saved by the blood of my Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Now I want you to say with me, everybody in this building, Father, I have a need. I have a spiritual need. The enemy is coming against me, and I put it in your hand. And I remind you of your word. You've not lost a one that was placed in your hand. You cannot lose me. I'm yours. I bind up that spirit in the name of Jesus, and I release freedom right now. Now continue with me, Father. My body is sick. I need healing. I cannot heal myself, but you can heal me. I trust you to be the great physician. Heal my body. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap praise. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you want prayer, I want you to come to the front. Pastor Ron and I, the leaders will be down here. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that when